Now, it is Proclamation Day today, which may only mean something to you if you have children going to school, because every school in the country has already received a tricolour, a copy of the proclamation, and today they will raise the flag, read the proclamation and sing the national anthem. And you may have guessed, yes, it is all part of the 1916 commemorations. Each school was also asked to produce a proclamation for 2016 to reflect the values and the ideals of today's generation. Well, here is Jack Cunahan. He's a Leaving Cert student at the Jez Secondary School in Galway, reading a shortened version of his school's new proclamation.
A force for the future. People of Ireland, Muintir na hÉireann. In the name of our current generation, our ancestors and future generations to come, we urge you, the citizens of Ireland, to stand tall and continue with heads held high and eyes to the future. This year, we celebrate the 100th anniversary of the 1916 Easter Rising. We commemorate the sacrifices made by our ancestors, who gave their lives for the freedom of all future generations, including all races, genders and religions. We ask of you, our fellow citizens, to trust us and each other, to support our nation. We adamantly believe in equality for all, regardless of gender, age, mental or physical ability, religion, race or sexuality. We do not discriminate. Instead, we aspire to the fruition of happiness and hope. We should be willing to broaden our horizons and solve the current problems of our region. Many issues such as climate change and the Syrian migrant crisis can be remedied, but only through unity. We may not be able to put an end to all of the world's problems, but through hard work and thought, we can stand as an example to others and assist other nations and their people through methods of enlightenment and non-violent assistance. We call to all who identify themselves as children of Ireland, as men and women, we encourage you to come together. With all of our abilities, we can guide our future generations. If we are able to keep a tenacious and unfaltering hold on these principles of peace and unity, we can change the world for the better and assist in the most important campaign of all, ensuring our very survival on this precious planet and keeping the human race alive.
Part of the 2016 proclamation, as written by students at the Jez Secondary School in Galway and read by Jack Cunahan. And Jack joins us now, as does Evie Hayes, another Leaving Cert student at the Jez. And we're joined here in studio by Maurice Manning, who chairs the Expert Advisory Group on Commemorations over these 10 years. You're all welcome. Evie, you and Jack will be emceeing the events at Proclamation Day today at your school. Could you just, though, talk to us about the proclamation we've just heard? Who wrote it? What was the thinking behind it?
Well, it was written by some of the TY students in the school, and me and Jack helped with the wording, but I suppose it kind of just reflects how we see, how what we would like to see Ireland in the future, what our desires are for a new Ireland. And also, you know, we read through the proclamation that was written 100 years ago, and I suppose we see the vision that Connolly and Pearse had for the country, and I suppose we respect their ideals and their values.
Jack, if we read the original proclamation in 1916, it says the Republic guarantees religious and civil liberty, equal rights and equal opportunities to all its citizens, and declares its resolve to pursue the happiness and prosperity of the whole nation and of all its parts, cherishing all of the children of the nation equally. Do you think it has lived up to that, or does it often fail?
Well, I suppose the kind of the whole idea of the proclamation was, as Evie said, to kind of view a better Ireland. And I suppose sometimes we go away from that kind of ideal. But I think the important thing to remember, and what the Proclamation Day is about really, is to go back to that idealism and that kind of romantic idea of what Ireland should be. And I think that's something that can really speak to students. And I think that's what we are trying to do in the Jez anyways about this day, you know.
And Evie, had you given much thought to the events of 1916 until now, and until all the events marking the 100th anniversary? What does 1916 mean to you?
Well, I suppose 1916 is not something you're going to be thinking about every day, you know, on a day-to-day basis. But when an event like this comes up, you know, you really think about the sacrifice that these people made for our country. I mean, the fact that they were willing so willing to give their lives for a better Ireland and for us, the future generation. I mean, it was such a great sacrifice. And I suppose you think about what can you do for the country? Where would you like to see the country in a few years' time? So I suppose it was such an amazing sacrifice, and the values and the desires that they laid down 100 years ago for Ireland, I mean, they were absolutely incredible.
Jack, do you agree it was a great sacrifice? I mean, some people think it's better to live for your country rather than die for it.
Well, yeah, I suppose it could be argued either way. I think it was William Butler Yeats said that, you know, a terrible beauty is born after the rising. And I think we do have to acknowledge that, you know, while it's fantastic and, you know, gave birth to our modern Ireland, we have to recognise that, you know, there were bad things as well. And I think that's what this day is about, what history is about in general, just remembering the good and the bad from these days.
Maurice, I'll bring you in here. Good morning and welcome.
Morning.
Are you interested in listening to Jack and Evie there talking about their perspectives on 1916 and how it's taught in schools?
Well, I think it's fascinating, and I think Jack summed it up there. One of the biggest problems we had on the committee was to focus on the complexity of the events, that it wasn't just one event, it wasn't just good or bad. There was a whole interweaving network of things taking place, and he brought that out very well, that judgments are still divided on the rising, and very robustly so. But I think the proclamation that Jack read there was very eloquent, and it was robust, and it was very thoughtful, and it was very much in the present time, but in the spirit of the earlier proclamation. And it's wonderful that this is being repeated in schools all over the country this morning.
And anecdotally, talking to parents about how 1916 and the events of that time are being taught to their children today, we hear some parents saying that our kids are coming home spouting anti-British sentiment. Would that be a concern to you in the sense that we condemn martyrs and self-sacrifice today, but are our children being taught to be proud of the men who did that here in 1916?
It's always a concern if things are being badly taught or used as propaganda or part of the contemporary political debate, because it's history. And one of the things we were very conscious of in drawing up the programme was that, first of all, nobody would hijack it, that it would be a national programme. No party could take it over. It would be national. We were also very conscious it had to be authentic and based on proper historical research. And in a way, the truth is the truth. What happened is what happened, and people can make up their own minds after that.
And do you think, is it going to be easy to ensure that it remains a commemoration rather than a celebration of that time?
It has been so far, and for one big reason. As we toured the country, Martin Manser and myself, in the early stages, we realised very quickly that the public was way ahead of the politicians on this. The public wanted it to be inclusive, to include the First World War, to include the Redmondites, to include women, to include labour, all of these things, so that the public is not in the mood to allow anybody to hijack the memory of 1916.
Is it right, though, to include the Redmondites and so on, and people like Charles Stewart Parnell, Daniel O'Connell? They're all up on a banner outside the GPO at the moment, and many people might say these are men who were non-violent, did not want any part in violence, and yet they're being associated with the 1916 rising, and that's false.
That is false. They're not part of the 19, but this is a decade of centenaries, and the very first event that the state had in this was in Waterford, where the Third Home Rule Bill of John Redmond was commemorated. And, you know, it's a decade. We still have to go into the War of Independence. We have the Civil War to look at. So it's important that we're calm about it, we're historical, we're, you know, and we allow space to people to express the very differing views that Jack was aware of in that piece there.
Absolutely. Well, Maurice, thank you very much indeed for coming in. I'm just going to return to you, Evie. We have an anthem, a new song composed by school colleagues of yours, Evie. Could you introduce it for us, please?
Well, it's a song that was composed by a transition year student, Emer O'Toole, and it's accompanied by a fifth year student, Fionnuala Grinnell, on the violin. And it's called This Land Is Ours. And I suppose it's just a special song that they composed remembering 1916.
Of ours could not break free from centuries of rule and tyranny. The nearest kingdom oppressed her, but did not kill her will for liberty. The spark was lit, flag was raised, heroes were lost, and her spirit blazed. Their voices could not be silent, so the quest became violent.